fun?
Let's get dangerous.
Who are you talking to?
No one. Your mama. Shut up. Take your pick.
It's Dick Silly.
He's opening our minds to new ideas. Kill him.
You just made a list.
Oh, wait, you're serious. Let me laugh even harder.
It's all in fantasy. Tales of the Ranks.
Sure, we talk about it all the time.
Really?
No. Burn.
Game on, you championship ducks, hopefully. The fantasy football season likely over for most everybody. I know there are still people who play Week 18 or find some ways to play Week 18. I don't mind a one-off. I don't mind DFS. I don't mind any of that kind of things. But hopefully it's not your normal, regular redraft league is not playing Week 18, because we're talking about today, we have a lot of teams that probably aren't playing, just like your fantasy team shouldn't be playing. But hopefully you brought home the championships. And we have a guest today, as we have been, somebody who started out watching, my show. I don't know if I call it my show, the show I was on way back in the day. Started as a fan, actually, in the business. So yeah, everybody always says, they ask me, well, your travels and, how to get into the industry. If you want to ask somebody else, G-Man Jay Felicio, started out just as a fan. And he's now working full-time over the FTN department and, tracking a lot of this stuff. So anything that you've seen in a game, he's seen too, because he has to go play-by-play and watch and chart all these damn things. Isn't that right, Mr. J-Man G? I changed it. Did you catch G? That? As J-Man, because you're so ticked off at the Giants.
Yeah, G-Man no longer stands for Giants. I said yesterday or Sunday that it's Golden Girls, man, but as you pointed out, it doesn't quite roll off the tongue, so I got to figure out exactly
Golden Girls Men Jay.
Yeah, it's better, like I told you, it makes no sense, but it's still better than representing the Giants after that debacle on Sunday. But yeah, it was we just talked about it before the show started, 2016, 2017, I think. I was just the guy in the chat every day, and then just decided wanted to go for it. And there's a lot more steps.
That's how
in between
you get
there
in the industry. I was gonna say, because I was always in the chat with Tristan Cockcroft at ESPN. So, maybe that's how it starts. You have to start always being in the chat.
And just don't be a jerk. That's a big part of it, too. Don't be the guy in there, talking.
Somehow I got here.
until you get to Jake that, and then you can be.
Then you can be an a-hole. That's what it is.
Yeah,
so,
pretty much.
Just like the Giants winning and ruining the fans. Cannot move up.
9:39 in the morning. You really want to get my blood boiling?
Oh, probably. Of course, because, get you fired up for the show. They can't move up their draft pick unless the other teams lose, and this is the thing. So, as of right now, the Bills, so we have potentially four teams on both sides. We have Chiefs, Bills. Chiefs are already said they are. The Bills, for all intents and purposes, said they are, because they said Josh Allen's going to be out there to get his continuous game streak going. I get it. I think all the people coming for Cam Ward should also be well, what about Josh Allen? But I get it. It's a little bit of different. Anyway, it's similar in a way. But point being, Bills might rest. You also have the Texans locked into the four. They might rest. Chargers, of course, what a shock that Harbaugh is not going to tell you what he's planning to do. But could they rest? Sure, because it's just jockeying between the sixth and seventh seed. So do they care that much? Maybe they do. Maybe they don't. But up in the air. On the NFC side, as we know, the Eagles are already talking about it, but are they going to push for Saquon Barkley to get his 100 yards, 100 plus yards barely, to break the record? And then, of course, you also have the Rams are locked in. You have, who else? There's so Atlanta, Tampa Bay, Green Bay's
locked in the seed.
And Commanders. Commanders have already said that Commanders could still lose their seed. They could drop. They're similar to the Chargers. Dan Quinn has already said they're going to play again. Don't know what that means. I mean, Here's the whole list. So, Chiefs said they're resting. Allen's supposed to start. Texans, DeMeco Ryans said, everybody's going to be out there, and then we'll see. Right. Okay. Chargers won't say. Eagles to be determined.
Coin toss,
Packers
maybe?
To be determined. Was that?
Maybe for the coin toss and, the first drive, and that's about it.
they're out there as their captain spots. And then, as I mentioned, the Commanders said they're all playing. We're going to be watching that all week. I do have waivers and ranks coming out together midnight Tuesday. You might already be out by the time you're listening to this, if you're listening on Wednesday, because don't separate the two. And that's what this show is about, not separating the two. We're going to kind of weave the two together. And I don't know, Do you want to talk more about? Do you want to get the Giants out of the way? Do you just want to just be pissed off about that?
Patriots, let's do it. Get the blood flowing for the rest of the show. The main thing is I don't understand how I don't expect them to go out there and just like not play and like blatantly throw it. But how can any Giants fan be happy about that win? I see a lot of people like
it's not mutually exclusive. Right. Like, so you can, as a fan of a team, like this is why I stopped rooting for the Bulls. And I know it doesn't make sense that I'm a lot of New York teams, but long story short, when I moved here, when I was a kid, my cousin was a fan of the Bulls, the Tar Heels and the Notre Dame football team, like different college teams. So you can blame that on him. But hey, look, I've been loyal since I've been 8 years old. So to give you that, but the thing is like why I stopped rooting for the Bulls. I don't really watch the NBA much at all anymore, but as tired of this, let's be happy with the 8 seed. It's just blow it up or don't like stop with this back and forth. Stop with the, like, you don't know what to do. Don't be happy with mediocrity. So I got tired of it. I got tired of the Giants. As you know, as soon as I said they drafted Daniel Jones, I'm like, I'm not doing this. I gave him 1 year and then I said, I'm not doing this anymore. So I understand fans being ticked off. Like, you deserve to be ticked off. The win does nothing for you. The win is actually a bad thing. At the same time, you can't fault the players because the players are playing for jobs. This is why D'Angelo Williams, when he was on the podcast years ago, said it's never going to happen. You cannot tank in football because even the coaches have their jobs. So even if you tell the coach your job's safe, the front office does, and says you're safe. We want to tank. We want a better future. Even if you get, you're not going to get the players. And the thing is you might get a handful. You might get some players like, hey, I'm safe. I'm under contract. I'm a veteran. I know I'm with this team. I know it is better for this. But the problem that happened with the Giants, Jay, is that they're on their second unit for like half their team. So these guys are legitimately fighting to be employed in the NFL, and you're just not going to get them to tank because their careers are on the line. So anyway, I want to say that like you deserve to be mad, but also at the same time, you understand the players are going to play.
Absolutely. I would never expect them to go out there and just not want to win. It's, you know, do the little things like third and fourth quarter, you know, Malik Nabers and Tracy were both banged up coming into this game. Maybe don't play him as much, you know, don't.
That would have been one
shots
thing.
Downfield just, with
to sit them.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the thing. And I understand. At first I was like, okay, maybe you don't even, you know, sit both of these guys as they're banged up, but they both wanted to get over 1,000 yards. You know, Malik Nabers is still in the running for the wide receiver. Did he already pass Puka Nacua's wide receiver record for receptions? But I know he's up there with it, fighting with Brock Bowers for the
receptions. Yeah, but did they get past? Did he get past Nacua? I know Bowers did. Malik Nabers was 104. What was Nacua? I thought Nacua was like 107 or something like that. He was 105. Close. He's one behind.
Okay. And so. You still, you know, in the running for the rookie record overall, you know, regardless of position. So I understand these guys wanting to play, but just, you know, some more conservative play calling, maybe not be drawing up these crazy plays to these draws where, you know, that a guy like Malik Nabers can take it to the house. So it's just incredibly frustrating. And
you still have one more game. You could have benched him in the third quarter. I agree.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It makes no sense. And I told you this. I was texting you on Sunday. I'm done. I've met my limit. It took me a couple more years after you, but I'm completely done, especially if we wind up with no quarterback. And, you know, we're going
to you
got
to find a different
Darton
team than me
because
I already ruined the Texans by going to them and getting the hat and everything like that.
There's nobody. Like, there's. I thought I can't do a division as much as I love Jaden Daniels. You know, you speaking of which, Jaden Daniels, you know, I'm sure glad we won those games with Tommy Cutlass last year to keep us from getting Jaden Daniels. It's not like he's changed the fortunes of a franchise or anything like that. But yeah, I'll have to figure out exactly. Maybe, you know, is there anybody else that starts with a G that's terrible or mediocre? And maybe I'll just work that in there.
Jaguars. There you go. There's a G in there.
Yeah. I'm not going there.
Let's actually talk some more rookies because this has to do with a strategy more so than week 18 combined. But I tweeted this out yesterday. The rookie wide receiver finishes. So over the fantasy playoffs, weeks 15, 16, and 17, obviously not week 18. This is the fantasy playoffs as the norm. 15, 16, 17, the best wide receivers in fantasy football. Number one, Brian Thomas. And you know, you can see behind me the signed football, my boy. 71.6 points. Malik Nabers was fourth at 62.1. Xavier Worthy, 52.5 at eighth. Ladd McConkey at 10th at 51.4. Jalen McMillan, another one of my boys, actually Ladd too, 50.7 at 11th. This is without Marvin Harrison. This is without Rome Odunze. So just seeing this at the end of the year and knowing that it takes time for rookies to, you know, learn the NFL, it takes time to adapt to offenses, to become the guy. McMillan had an injury in front of him. Xavier Worthy had injuries slash players not producing. Brian Thomas, Neighbors, McConkey, even Marvin Harrison stepped into roles where they could be the one or two. So the different factors for some of them. But does this change your strategy at all for 2025 looking forward? Because for me, actually, I feel like, Jay, that people are going to fall into the trap of, ooh, I'm going to draft all these rookie wide receivers in the fifth round next year, because look at what happens at the end of the year, not realizing it was a long road to get here for some of them. And then twofold, are we already just going to forget 2023 and the fact that it wasn't that? This doesn't happen every single year. This happens like every, what, 5 or 6 years? Like, because remember after the Odell Beckham, Mike Evans draft? And then the very next one, everybody's like, we drafted all these rookies, and none of them really did much. So I'm more towards that. Are you a little bit more optimistic just because of how good they've been of late?
No, I'm with you. I think that this really kind of solidifies the way that I've always attacked rookie wide receivers. I don't have there this past season. I had very few at all shares of Malik Neighbors, of Marvin Harrison Jr. because of the draft costs. They were getting, you know, Marvin Harrison Jr. going in the first, you know, second round, Malik Neighbors going in the third, fourth, fifth. You're buying all the risk, and it's not something I'm willing to do. I have a ton of Brian Thomas Jr., Ladd McConkey, because you didn't have to take the risk. You know, if those picks don't work out, okay, so you miss out on an eighth, ninth, tenth round pick. That chances are you're going to drop that guy anyways. I think that Brian Thomas Jr. is a guy that I probably won't have a lot of if it's not a keeper league or a draft league, because I think he's going to get overdrafted next year the way that Malik Neighbors and Marvin Harrison Jr. did this year.
So Marvin Harrison, for your point, was the 15th on average ADP is 15th player off the board, wide receiver 9. Malik Neighbors was in the fourth round, wide receiver 24. But to that point, it might be more of what we were talking about in the preseason, that being me and me at the time. Brian Thomas was 109. That's where you found your value. You get Brian Thomas, and I feel like Ladd McConkey wasn't too far from there, because
even further,
108. Right? He was 108 and 109. So there you go, back to back. That's where you find your value. So maybe next year the answer is not, oh, McMillan, where does he end up? Let me take the third round, second round pick of McMillan. Mm-hmm. It's finding those other wide receivers that fall into those spots. What about real quickly? I mean, I spent a lot of time on this, but it might actually matter for Week 18, and it might matter differently because his quarterback might not be Brock Purdy. But Ricky Pearsall, finally, this entire season, finally shows up. Nobody's using him in Week 17 because he just was buried on the depth chart, but had his breakout game, an amazing game. He was essentially, for all intents and purposes, you saw it, Jay, the number one wide receiver. Like, it had been a mix of Debo once in a blue moon, but more so Juwan Jennings. But this was all Pearsall, and we know the excitement about his talent. First round pick, let's make that clear. Whatever you think of Pearsall, do you have hope for Week 18? If you're in Week 18, if you are playing, would you even put him in your lineup as a wide receiver 3 off that one game, or is he not even deserving of that because it is still off one game, and it might be Joshua Dobbs?
I think he's worth the shot as a wide receiver 3, you know, especially in Week 18.
You know where Dobbs' first look was to Pearsall?
Right. I think for Week 18 purposes, I think he's a borderline wide receiver too, to be honest. The way that this team isn't gonna go down without a fight, even though there's not playing for anything. And as we've seen time and time again, you can really plug average players in here, and this offensive system can produce. I'm perfectly fine if you're playing Week 18 for any sort of actual purposes. He's in my lineup.
So would you go Pearsall, or I'm trying to think of somebody that might be like a wide? Would you go Pearsall or Devontae Smith if they start their players, not knowing if Devontae Smith makes it the entire game?
See, I don't bring that name up because not starting him this week kind of cost me a championship because I didn't want to start him with Kenny Pickett. So that
well,
hurts.
Then even so, more so.
Like, yeah, I still think they go Pearsall because even if the Eagles do play their players, I don't think it's going to be for the full game. I think it's going to be put, say, you know, the starters out there. get Saquon the record if they even go that route, and then pull back. Because they it's a win-win if they lose, because then they screw the Giants screw even more than the Giants screw themselves.
Yeah, I want to be a shock. Hey, you know, I tweeted it. I showed you the tweet for over a month ago. It was a month and a half ago where I said Drew Lock was going to come in, win two or three games, and knock them out of the Ward-Sanders conversation. And then they're going to play this Neusmeyer, Alar, like somebody in that range, Carson Beck even, and play this whole, we just have Daniel Jones all over again.
If the Giants, before we go back to the list, if we...
Can keep bringing this up?
if the Giants don't draft one of the top two quarterbacks, mark my words, Kirk Cousins will be the starter week one for the Giants in 2025.
Or they're going to overpay for Sam Darnold.
Yes, I could see that too. Oh, Darnold, let's not even go down that route.
I actually think I don't think they're going to move on from him, but if they need a holdover, even if you have to draft Ward or Sanders and do the smart thing of, hey, let's sit for a year, and similar to what the Patriots did with Drake May, and maybe at some point it is break glass because it's that bad, but... The point being is, like, let's not force it. I mean, hell, Patrick Mahomes before that, we saw his rookie season. But if it's somebody like, if Derek Carr's not back with the Saints, Derek Carr's like the perfect 1 year holdover, I think. Yeah. And actually,
I'd be fine with
I think
that.
He could be interesting depending on if McMillan ends up there with Olave. But anyway, that's a complete, this is off season talk. So, by the way, of resting teams. So, there was one more toss up I wanted to give you. Ricky Pearsall or Darnell Mooney against the Panthers, because watching Penix in two games, I'm not sure that I can trust anybody but Drake London, because the target distribution for Mooney, McLeod, even Kyle Pitts, it's Drake London's almost at 35% for the two starts by Michael Penix. Everybody else is hovering in the 13 to 14 to maybe 15% range. I would actually go Pearsall over Mooney at this point.
Yeah, and that 13, 14%, you got to knock off a few percentage points, because Penix looked good, but there was definitely some ducks that went straight in the ground when you could tell that he hasn't gotten many reps with the ones this year. So I'm going Pearsall. I love Mooney. He a nice pickup for me this year. He helped me make a little bit of money, but the way that Penix has looked, it's not pretty.
Would you play, here's another one, Pearsall or DeAndre Hopkins, now that Marquise Brown is back? I'd go Pearsall again.
Yeah, I've been out. As much as I love DeAndre Hopkins, he's one of my favorite wide receivers ever. I've been out on him for fantasy purposes. I knew, he's going to have those couple
of games where
he catches.
It's also a potential sit.
Yeah, exactly. And he's
how about this one?
He was going to have those couple of games where he catches two touchdowns and goes off, but he's not worth the risk, especially the way that
Pearsall. Or let me pull up this number, because I've already started the waiver / rankings column, and I need to pull it up for this is so insane. Pearsall or, yes, over the last three games, 20.6 team target percentage has become the wide receiver 2 for the Jaden Daniels led Commanders. The new two since Noah Brown got hurt, almost 21% of the targets over those three games, 21 targets, 16 receptions, 191 yards, and 3 touchdowns. Pearsall or Olamide Zaccheaus? Like, Zaccheaus is not a wee little man, if you grew up in church, by the way.
But that could be a new team name for your home week.
Not a wee little man? Or Zaccheaus? Something like that. So would you go Zaccheaus or Pearsall? Yeah, it's just a very long name. Zaccheaus or Pearsall?
I think I'm going Zaccheaus.
Dead air is quality time, by the way.
Yeah, no, I think I'm going Zaccheaus. I like them both. I think you're fine with either one of them. But like you said, there's no denying it. 20% target share over the past 3 weeks? Like
almost 21% over 3 weeks since Noah Brown got hurt.
And opposing defenses have been shutting down. Really focusing on Terry McLaurin, as we saw this week. And yeah, I think I would. I think it goes Zaccheaus. The wee little man is he.
So two other things that we have for teams potentially resting. So other ones that are out of it. The Bears, all healthy veterans are playing. And leave that to determine what the hell you mean by that one. And then the Titans, this one has actually very clear, but a very messy situation. They're going to evaluate Levis and Rudolph in the final game against Houston, which, again, Houston might not have anybody. But we're going to come back to that, because this has to do with some picking up some players and whether or not you would even bother. But as another sidebar to what's been happening, Joe Burrow, they still have the playoffs on the line. I know you saw the talk. Just general thoughts. This is NFL general thoughts. My whole debate the entire year is between Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson. But now there's a lot of people who are saying if the Bengals get in, that Joe Burrow deserves some consideration as the MVP. Where do you stand on that? Because some consideration, fine. But, you know, they have no defense. He's been doing it all with his offense. We saw the stat earlier this year, the first quarterback in forever to throw 300 something yards and three touchdowns and lose every single one of those games and blah, 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 and all that type of stuff. So cool, great. But let's not pretend Josh Allen has megastars he's been throwing to. Let's not pretend his defense hasn't started falling apart. Let's not pretend that the Ravens' defense didn't exist until the middle of the season. And yes, it has been much better. But I feel like that's cool if the Ravens and Bills were like perfect teams. Like if they were the Chiefs even, you could be like, all right, maybe there's an argument, but I feel like there's flaws with all three of their teams. So I don't buy this Joe Burrow deserving to be the MVP if they happen to make the playoffs. Do you have a different take, or are you with this on with me?
For the most part, I am. I think it boils down to the age-old argument of what does most valuable player actually mean? Does it, you know, for the most part, it's the best player in the league. It's not the most valuable player to his team. You know, you could plug somebody. It obviously wouldn't be Lamar Jackson, but I think if you plug in the Huntleys, the who's their backup now in Baltimore? I don't even know off the top of my head, but you know that team would at least be decent. Buffalo, you take Josh Allen, they're not going to be. They're going to be complete trash. They're going to fall off the face of the earth. And Joe Burrow, same thing. I think if you go to, is their backup still? What was his name?
I'm not Trubisky. Are you talking about Josh Johnson? Which team are you on now?
I'm on the Bengals. The Bengals backup that stepped in last year. What was his name?
Come on, this one's an easy one.
I know. It's early for me.
Come on. Starts with, I mean, it's my first name.
Like Jake something?
Yeah.
Browning. There it is. Jake Browning. Yeah, I mean, he stepped in last year, and, you know, the team played well. So I think you go in, I think it's, you got to really look more at Josh Allen either way. He's arguably the best player, most valuable to his team if he was gone. So I'm with you. I think that Burrow is fine in the conversation, but you can't really consider him as an actual MVP candidate. I think it boils down to those two, like we talked about, the Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson, and that's really it.
All right, so within the AFC, it seems like all the names are over there for the MVP. We do have the Chargers that we already brought up and said that they might not be playing their starters, or they might, because Harbaugh's like, I'm not going to tell you. What a shock. Like, cool, buddy. It's not like you're like the first guy that's not going to tell
us. The guy that has the team singing for He's a Jolly Good Fellow in the locker room is playing these games. Shock.
Yeah, what a shock.
Have you seen those videos?
No, and I don't care. J.K. Dobbins had a good game. Had no Gus Edwards. There was a lot of risk in starting him, and if you did, it paid off. A ton of volume, and he looked okay. Like, he didn't even look like he was coming off an injury. It looks like he's been a couple games back from injury. But that being said, this now comes into the conversation again. Does he go right back to being top 20 for you in week 18, or is this Harbaugh uncertainty make you say, ooh, I don't know? I think this is a fair toss-up. We brought up Tyrone Tracy's name. Tyrone Tracy going against the Eagles, or J.K. Dobbins and what might not be a full game against the Raiders? Because if you told me both, if this was week 17, knowing what we know, I would take Dobbins over Tracy, just like I took Dobbins over Tracy last week in my rankings. But this is different this week. So now which way would you go here? Because this is uncertainty versus certainty, but certainty of how much production might you get out of Tyrone Tracy.
I still think I'm going to take Dobbins. I see Harbaugh, even if the team doesn't play, it's full allotment of snaps. What Dobbins has been back was this his first week or second week back?
First week back.
Harbaugh's going to want to get him kind of back in the swing of things. And I don't trust Tracy the way that Singletary's been working in more. The Eagles' defense, even if they don't play their starters, the Eagles' run defense is still stout. Yeah, I think I'm still going with Dobbins over Tyrone Tracy.
So how about Tyrone Tracy, J.K. Dobbins, and then Breece Hall This has been all over the map. The Jets, I see your face. The Breece Hall situation has been so weird because, like, there was the injury situation, and then, of course, Braylon Allen looks good, gets mixed in. There's a game without him, and it's Braylon Allen, Isaiah Davis, and Isaiah Davis even looks as good, if not better, than Allen at the time. And all this happens, and then week 16, yes, this is where, this because this is context here, week 16 rolls around, Braylon Allen barely used, Breece Hall essentially bell cows. And then week 17 rolls around, and we go right back to a full-blown committee with Braylon Allen, Breece Hall, barely the lead in quotes as Isaiah Davis, and everybody gets touches again. So now we head into week 18, where the Jets are playing potential spoilers for the Dolphins, depending on what happens. They're not going to know at that time. They'll know whether or not Cincinnati won, but they won't know about the Denver because they're both playing at 425. So they could play spoiler, but it's been inconsistent as inconsistent gets. Braylon Allen eats in, so Breece Hall versus J.K. Dobbins versus Tyrone Tracy in week 18. I have a feeling like you could argue Breece Hall would be the third of those. You could argue. Will you make that argument?
I will make that argument 100%. And this is okay. Part of where really cool with me being a part of the data charting team here at FTN. One of the games I had this week was Buffalo and the New York Jets, and I was texting our fearless leader, Mike Tallis, last night that both the Jets and Bills offensive lines were awful last week. It was one. This is my second year doing charting for FTN, and it was easily the most blown blocks I've ever charted on both sides of the ball. They were just awful. And Breece Hall, even when he did get some open field, he just looked like he was laboring. He still doesn't look completely healthy. I hope he gets the explosiveness back that he had, but I'm really concerned for his long-term viability. I'm not starting Breece Hall. You know, like you said, throw in the fact that he's not necessarily the lead back. He's got two capable backs behind him. He's the third in that grouping for me easily.
All right, well, then let's take this one step further. So now we have Breece Hall in week 18. This is why you don't play week 18. Breece Hall is behind, although it just might have been a decision you could have made in week 17. Breece Hall is behind J.K. Dobbins, behind Tyrone Tracy. So Dobbins, Tracy, Hall in order. Here's one never thought we'd be throwing out, but there is an argument.
I know where you're going.
So 2 weeks in a row, we're like, wow, the backup, you put that in quotes, the second piece of the timeshare in this backfield has looked better than the lead option. Not surprising because the lead option is somebody that at the start of the season didn't have a lot of excitement for because just he's average. He's also in competition with somebody who was average and went from being a value potential breakout because he actually won fantasy leagues for people last year in 2023. I'm giving so many hints to see if people can figure it out before I say it while they're listening. But ended up being so valuable last year. People took flyers on him this year, myself included. I'm like, yeah, you know, $3. I forget. Like, he went for a few bucks in our home league. And it's just like, hey, it might be the guy. He wasn't even the guy. He was the guy that was, like, benched and then also hurt. So he's completely out of it. I don't know how many more hints I have to give here. But the one that nobody saw coming, the number, somebody like, was he even going to be on this team? Amir Abdullah has gone insane the past 2 weeks. And I say insane because for Abdullah purposes, it's insane. 2 weeks ago, week 16, good game. Better than Alexander Mattison, despite not even touching the ball and the field as much as Mattison. It got closer to a 50-50 split this past week, and he went bonkers, over 100 yards. If you're playing week 18, Amir Abdullah versus J.K. Dobbins, week 18, they get to face each other. Is Abdullah the answer because at least he doesn't have the question of leaving the game?
Full PPR.
Do you not want to say it?
I don't half want
PPR.
To.
Like, even, half PPR.
You got to go there.
That's default.
Yeah, I think, yeah, because, I'm going Abdullah because we saw it last year when I think Antonio Pierce has been waiting for that hot hand to emerge to be able to ride, and Amir Abdullah seems to be that guy. And yeah, God, this feels really gross to say, but I'm putting Abdullah at the top of that list, like you said. And I think the tiebreaker we really don't have to worry about him leaving the game because it's Antonio Pierce as his head coach.
I think you could go as far as Abdullah over DeAndre Swift. I mean, honestly, like if that's how bad Swift has been, and how insane this is at this point in the season. Like, you play the people you play. Like, this is like, this is why week 18's bonkers, because we might not have Stevenson or Gibson for, and not that you were that, but like, I think those kind of fall into a similar conversation. Like, if you said Stevenson's the bell cow for the Patriots, he got his job back, you'd be like, ah, I'd play Stevenson over Abdullah. If you're just like, Antonio Gibson's the guy and it's no Stevenson again, you'd be like, eh, I might lean Gibson, but the Patriots might be sitting everybody against the Bills sitting almost everybody. And to come back to this, this is where I was going to come back to the Titans at this whole conversation, is the Titans are evaluating their quarterback. Tony Pollard's been banged up. Missed week 17. Problem. Tajay Spears is now in concussion protocol. They've officially said he's in concussion. Yes. Tajay Spears, for all intents and purposes, we'll call it on the show, not playing week 18. So you have Pollard might not even be practicing and then try to suit up in week 18 in a non-game as you're evaluating quarterbacks. So Tony Pollard versus Abdullah. Amir Abdullah again. I don't think it's even close. This is stupid. I hate this.
That's why you don't play week 18. Now, if it was the Giants and their ridiculous organization, they would probably just throw Tony Pollard out there and give him 25 touches.
Okay, like I was going to say 30 touches. You crazy over here? Let's go through real quick. Let's go through teams and just talk about this. You have Cleveland potentially with no Jerome Ford. If Jerome Ford's out there, I would still play him over Abdullah, even against the Ravens' run defense, just because he was getting all the work, and I trust Jerome Ford more. But potentially no Jerome Ford. Abdullah over that backfield, period. End of sentence. Bengals, Chase Brown, Derrick Henry, Najee Harris, and Najee Harris, I have hated, and I told people this is why you didn't want him in the playoffs, but I would still play Najee Harris against the Bengals, because I would be hoping for that, and they're playing for something. Although that could go out the window, because Mike Tomlin said they're going to play no matter what happens with the Ravens. But if the Ravens win, did you really play all the way through the game? So there's a question right there. I think Abdullah in that situation becomes over Najee Harris. Panthers, you don't have Chuba Hubbard, so you have that split. So Abdullah again. Falcons, whatever. Washington, Dallas, Rico Dowdle, you'd still play. DeAndre Swift, we already brought up. Green Bay might be resting. Tennessee, Indianapolis has Taylor, Jacksonville over both of them. Joe Mixon sits over the entire Houston backfield. I'm only halfway through the schedule, and Abdullah's over the majority of the teams. That's how insane Week 18 is. That's just
is
I don't even go
top
through
five
all the teams.
Week 18 option. Is that what I'm
top
hearing?
Five? No, but he's going to be inside the top 20.
Yeah, easily.
This is so, all right.
That's why you don't play week 18.
Actually, you know what? There is one more running back. I forgot about this. This is how big.
20 attempts last week?
That's what I'm saying.
20 attempts, 5.8 yards per carry. I knew he had a bunch. I didn't know he hit the 20 threshold.
Here's another running back we didn't think we'd have to deal with in week 18. Because Kendra Miller, for everybody out there, is like, oh, see, the Saints don't like Kendra Miller. Nah. Like, Dane said that yesterday on SiriusXM. I was like, that's not really the case. It's like, he got hurt. Like, there's a situation there. He's, like, hurt. So it's not so
Dennis
much that
Allen
the new
didn't like Kendra Miller for some reason.
Yeah, Dennis Allen didn't. But the new regime has clearly shown that they want to give him a chance. But got hurt. And Clyde Edwards-Helaire, yes. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, if you guys, everybody out there, like, I know some people legitimately, I know people in the industry miss this. So let's be clear, like, I'm not coming for anybody on this. Like, this was overlooked because it kind of got, I don't remember when the announcement even came that he was on the team. It kind of just got shuffled under and, like, mixed in the news somewhere. But anyway, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, potentially with the backfield to himself against the Buccaneers. So Clyde Edwards-Helaire versus Amir Abdullah with no Kendra Miller. Is the answer still Abdullah? Is this what we're doing here?
Yeah.
Or Clyde Edwards-Helaire because the Saints? Like, both offenses stink.
Right. I think it's more about the matchup. I don't want to go against the Tampa Bay run defense.
Vita Vea?
Yeah, yeah. Did you see who was it that he picked? Was it last week with Turbin? Did you see that when he carried him around like a little baby?
I said that last week. Oh, 100%. It was last week, I think it was when I did the show with Tip Major. It was either there or SiriusXM. And I said, I half expected that gif from Avengers where the Hulk starts slapping Loki back and forth. And, like,
exactly.
Thought, like, Vea would do that with him.
Yeah, I'm going to use the matchup as a tiebreaker and still go with Abdullah.
Okay. Would you go CEH over Breece Hall? Would you go that far? I don't know if I trust CEH that much.
I don't trust CEH that much, but I just... Is the one thing that's nice about the Giants is even though they're the Giants and they're a dumpster fire, they're still not the Jets. And that I'll go CEH over Breece Hall based on what I saw charting the run game as bad as the offensive line.
Yeah, you saw it. And then on top of it, there's always the risk of the Jets being like, well, Breece Hall has been banged up multiple times this year. So why do we have to feed him in our last meaningless game? I mean, they could play spoiler, but you could play spoiler with Braylon Allen and Isaiah Davis. Right. You don't need Breece Hall to play spoiler. All right. Different kind of topic slash for week 18. We said some major duds in week 17. I actually put this poll out. I'm curious which way you would go. So initially the poll had Jerome Ford in it, and I said, to be fair, he got hurt. So if I took him out, I'll now give something that Twitter or whatever the hell you want to call it doesn't give you. I'll give you a 5-answer poll instead of just a 4. So you get to choose who is the biggest disappointment for week 17. Was it Stafford and Kupp combo? So that's actually, you get 2-1 there. The Stafford Kupp combo, Terry McLaurin, the Colts defense, Devon Achane, or James Conner, also injury related. So I think he gets somewhat of a pass, but a lot of people said James Conner, and I'm like, eh, is he really? If you had to pick one of those 5, who is the biggest disappointment for you? I have an easy one in my opinion, but I'm curious if you're going to go the same way as I am in week 17 disappointment.
For me, it's easily McLaurin. I mean, all the others had,
I agree,
had, you know, some sort of wart or red flag associated with them. You know, Stafford and Kupp hasn't looked good for the entirety of the fantasy playoffs. It's like he fell off the face of the earth. This season I wrote 10 things you need to know each week for FTN, and one of them was do not start Cooper Kupp. That this is Puka Nacua's team, and the way that Kupp has looked, it's ugly. Now, you can ignore where I said start James Conner no matter what. But you know, you knew the risk going in there, that short week, with his knee, that there was a chance that worst case scenario could happen with James Conner. And it did. He came in, he looked okay, but his knee acted up. He sat the rest of the game. The Colts D, like, this is why I, when I'm looking for these type of matchups in the fantasy playoffs, I prefer to go, I would rather take a good defense with a mediocre matchup versus these bad defenses with quote unquote great matchups, because bad defenses are bad for a reason. The Colts D hasn't done much. You know, I think it's since weeks, they've allowed over 20 points to every game since week 6, I believe, something along those lines. So yeah, the Giants have been,
yeah, but they're getting interceptions even against Bo Nix. And to be fair, depending on your league, the 2 weeks before that, they had scored close to double digits. So I'm saying that to all say this, it's two things. Is I was with the consensus. I had the Colts as the number one defense because Drew Lock too. Like, nobody expected Drew Lock to have a top 10 all time performance in, like, people want to use EPA. If you want to use EPA, what?
Best quarterback performance in Giants history. Yeah. Literally. Like,
if you want to go statistically, if you watch the game, there were still some mistakes, but if you want to say it was top 25 performance all time, because that's like pretty much what it was insane. It was nobody. Drew Lock, the Giants offensive line, this team, this Colts defense, which, yeah, it was middle of the road. I agree with you 100%. As a complete separate topic, this is why a couple weeks ago people were like, well, what about the Bengals defense? I'm like, they don't have a defense. The Jaguars defense, they don't have a defense. I'm with you. Like, when you're talking about the dredges of defenses, I don't care about the matchup. The Colts were middle of the road. And the Giants have been beyond piss poor. So I was like, you know what? I could see it. They're getting interceptions. They're taking advantage on defense. But that obviously got him at the worst time possible. Drew Lock woke up and felt like Peyton Manning. I don't understand it. Actually, somebody who can run more than Peyton Manning. So, like, what he felt like Joe Montana. I don't care, whatever the hell happened. But I'm with you in the fact that we also know, even somebody, like I'm saying, as myself, who ranked them number one, that defenses can go sideways any given week. Like, even the best defenses can go sideways on an off game where it becomes a shootout, like the Ravens before, or even past years, the Ravens. So I'm with you on the fact that Terry McLaurin, I brought this up to Dane on the SiriusXM show, too, because he was like, oh, he's been at least a wide receiver, too. I'm like, you're wrong, because you actually undersold him. Since week three, even with the bad game against the Eagles included, he was wide receiver 5 heading into that game. He's still top 10 since week 3, even with that game, because he's been that good, because Jaden Daniels and Terry McLaurin have been together. And Jaden Daniels didn't have a bad game. That's what's the worst part about it. And Terry McLaurin did nothing. So, yeah, I'm with you.
The Atlanta was a fantastic matchup.
Everything was there for
him. With that many points scored, like, you would expect him to get more than one catch.
You know what the crazy thing is like, I benched, I'm sure you saw it, I had Malik Nabers on my bench in the home league. The only thing that makes me feel better about that is the person I considered benching for him was Breece Hall. And I'm actually glad this worked out this way because the point differential, I still would have lost. However, if I would have put Grendo in for Hall and Neighbors in for McLaurin, then
you
I
can't
win.
Those games.
But you, no, you that's what I'm saying. You can't. There's no way. Sorry, my nose is running a little bit. The gum surgery is making my messes with my nose too. But anyway, like, you know, you can't play those games with all those talent riches that I had too many options to pick from there, unfortunately. But all that saying is I still played McLaurin. There's like, I wouldn't even thought twice about Neighbors over McLaurin. So
that's where you just gotta, you know, take your lumps, take your losses, and know, you know, sometimes it is right process and wrong results. You're not going to make that move 10 times out of 10.
So this is where I want to go with it too. This ties into the poll, right process, wrong results. Is the right process for week 18 even like, so if it's Tua, we're not having this conversation. But is the right process for week 18, if Huntley is back under center, to bench Achan? Like, because the right process was he's too good, you can't bench him. That's been wrong every single time. Achan hasn't hit double digits with Huntley. Like, we keep saying you can't bench a running back of his talent because he's just too good. We've been wrong. I say the industry, we've been wrong. I had him as a top end RB2. That was way too high. Like, and now we have potential playoffs on the line. If it's not Tua, but we also have a bunch of situations where we've already talked about. It's like, how far are you going with H? Would you, let's play this game again. Is the right call, process or not, is the right call Abdullah over Achan with Huntley?
Yeah, easily. It's ridiculous, but if you're playing week 18, it's already ridiculous. But I mean, last week, 10 attempts, 2.5 yards per carry. Yeah, it's ugly. It's Abdullah's getting the work, and volume is king, especially in week 18. Give me the volume that Abdullah's going to see.
That's insane. That's where we're going. Would you go, I'm trying to think, Denver playoffs on the line. Would you go McLaughlin? Or we're now it's a bridge too far because that backfield is something that I never want to
do.
Yeah,
that's
with.
The problem. You never know what Sean Payton with this backfield. I can't do it.
So what else we got here? Let's talk about week 18 too for another one. We are not likely to see Anthony Richardson again for the rest of the season with the back issue, which means we get another game of Joe Flacco, which was a lot of excitement for Josh Downs, myself included. It was like, ooh, I'll put Josh Downs back inside the top 25. The problem is like, Josh Downs, if you said Joe Flacco 17 games, Josh Downs should essentially rank as 25th every single week because he's what DJ Moore used to be with his old team, with the Panthers, is 25 is going to be wrong every damn week. It's either going to be Josh Downs top 15 or Josh Downs 45. That's what DJ Moore was back with the Panthers. Let's remember this. Like, this is why, no matter, like, I legitimately ranked DJ Moore around 18 to 22 every single week that year. And every single week was both sides. Why so high? Why so low? And the answer was always because this is where he averages out. I'm not going to play the game of trying to pick the good weeks and pick the bad weeks because it wasn't matchup dependent. It wasn't game scripted. Like, it's just, that's how he is. That's how he is in this offense. Josh Downs kind of falls into that if we were talking a full 17 games, but we're not. We're talking one more game of Joe Flacco. We're talking Joe Flacco went downfield to Alec Pierce a ton. Threw to Michael Pittman a ton, ignore Josh Downs. They get the Jaguars defense, which is a cake matchup. How would you rank the three Colts wide receivers for week 18? Downs, Pittman, Pierce, Pittman, Pierce, Downs, Pierce, number one, because he's getting all those shots downfield. Like, how would you rank them?
I would get three pieces of paper, write their names.
You can't mix them up in a hat. That's not a...
that's written now. I would probably... I'd go Pierce, I think, first overall, just because we've seen it more consistently throughout the year. No matter who the quarterback is, he's put up some decent numbers. I think I still would put Downs over Pittman just because we've seen it before. The connection between Flacco and Downs, and you know, this team, even though he didn't target Downs and this offense struggled, so maybe he realized maybe I do actually need to get him a little bit more involved. So I mean, it's splitting hairs. It's 1A, 1B, 1C, but I think I'd throw Pittman at the back end of this grouping.
That's so insane to think about. How about Adam Thielen over all of them? Yes?
Oh, without a doubt.
Yeah. Okay. How about Jalen McMillan over all of them? Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, you shouldn't be. Don't hesitate on that one. That's my boy.
The Bucks are still. The only thing is they're going to force feed Mike Evans. You know, get him that that record.
So. Yeah, and if you're a bunch of jerks, which the Saints might be, you just quadruple team Mike Evans. Like, you're not going to get your record. This game doesn't mean anything anyway.
Imagine if Lattimore's still on this team. The excitement that would be around this game with Mike Evans going for the record.
Can they trade back for him for just 1 week? Like collusion, like one of those ones where, like, I'll trade you this guy and you trade him back to me?
Just for a week.
So a few quick more before we get out of here. The Green Bay Packers, again, we don't know what they're going to be doing. We haven't found out, at least as of right now. And again, the coaches might say whatever might say. But Romeo Doubs led kind of a down game. Not kind of. It was a down game from Jordan Love. But he led the way. This has been all over the map, too, with the Packers wide receivers. This is for week 18. Like, let's assume the Packers are playing the entire game and then looking to 2025. Are you just out on the Packers? Just like let them be somebody else's problem? Because I know at some point of the draft, everybody's like, well, somebody, like, if Jaden Reed's sitting there around 7, I'm going to take Jaden Reed. But I don't want to. Like, that's the thing. It's like, I don't want to deal with any of them because it's almost like you have to keep him in your lineup and take what's essentially been for Doubs and Reed, and not so much, you know, Watson's been hurt, but it's been more bad than good. It's just, that's why I don't really, that's why I like, so some of them, like, I'm trying to think who, like Devonta Smith, when healthy, I know I'm going to get 10 good games, 6 really bad ones, and maybe like one where he just goes nuclear. With Doubs and Reed, it's kind of like, hey, I'm going to get like 9 bad games and 8 good ones. Like that, so I just rather not, even at value. Are you with me on this? Like, even like week 18, or are you just like, do you have a little bit more hope this is going to start to have some clarity, if at least for next year too?
I think more for this year, I don't want to start any of them. Next year, I think I'll still wind up with a fair share of Romeo Doubs, just because out of the group, it seems like the public just wants nothing to do with him. I mean, he was on Fantasy Pros 138 ADP. Overall, like, I'll take a shot on that. I think more of not somebody, and like you said, to really get the full benefit of them, it's somebody that you do need to kind of throw in your lineup every week, but more as a break glass in case of emergency. Like, he's fine. Like, he's got a decent upside with Jordan Love as his quarterback, and generally a pretty safe floor. He's always around the top. If he's not the most targeted Packers wide receiver, he's very close second. So I think just based on what the draft capital is going to be, I'll still have a decent share of them. It's not somebody that I'm going out of my way to draft. I won't have any Jaden Reed. And even Wicks, even though he was going behind, for the most part, going behind Doubs, he's the one that's really the ultimate boom bust that I just don't want to play that game.
Okay. And then before we get out of here, if you need a quarterback for week 18, because of all the people potentially sitting, Josh Allen, no Brock Purdy, no Patrick Mahomes. I mean, the list can go on depending on, you know, what happens with other games. But would you go, I'll give you a toss up of 3. This is fantasy only. Would you go Bryce Young, Mac Jones, or Joe Flacco? Those are your 3 choices for this is what week 18 brings, everybody. Joe Flacco at home against the Jaguars, Mac Jones on the other side of the ball, who's actually been top 20 every single week since he's taken back over, surprisingly, or Bryce Young, by the way, for the fantasy playoffs, QB 11 weeks 15 through 17 at Atlanta. So the answer is Bryce Young.
Since the bye, since I got Adam Thielen. Yeah. I don't know, man. Mac Jones has looked really good with, especially having Brian Thomas. I mean, he finally learned. It took a couple of games, but he's just hyper targeted Brian Thomas and realized, hey, this guy can just do it all for me.
Yeah.
You know what? I think I'm going to go Mac Jones with the matchup.
Mac Jones versus Bryce Young, week 18. That's what we're going to do. Bryce versus Mac. I like it. Okay. We figured something out where we can do a toss up before the end of Bryce versus Mac week 18. Who would have thought? And Bryce
feels sick to my stomach after saying that, but
a touchdown in every single game since he's come back too. With I think he's only got 2 games with under 200 yards recently, but he's getting the rushing touchdowns on top. That's the thing. He doesn't run that much, and now all of a sudden it's like he's woken up and then figured it. I will say not overly surprising, because that's one of the things that I mentioned, like more comfortable with Caleb Williams, is once you're comfortable in the pocket and can see when you need to run, you actually will run more. It's nice to see Bryce Young hit way, 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 way too early. But would you buy into what's happening with Bryce Young and say, I'll take him as QB 17, 18, 19 as one of the ones that could break out next year? Or is that a little too, like, I know this is a whole offseason conversation. That's why we'll have it on the conversation. But just like off the top of your head, does that feel about right? Or does that still feel a little bit aggressive?
It felt a little aggressive at first, but you sit there and look at it. That's about right. Like there's a whole lot of question marks. Like you said, it's way too early, but I think that's fair. And I think if it's super flex leagues, if I get a stud QB one along the lines of the Josh Allen's and Lamar Jackson's, and you want to play that game of,
this is why you know who QB 18, 19 and 20 were this year in ADP, Aaron Rodgers, Kirk Cousins and Matthew Stafford.
Yeah. I'd take Bryce Young easily over those guys. That's where I want the upside, not the old crusty veterans that have nowhere to go but down.
Yeah. The Derek Carrs of the world. Sorry, Derek Carr, taking a shot at Derek Carr. So do I. I spoke positively at the beginning of the show, too. Also, know where he gets his eyeliner from, like whatever that he does. Cause I swear the guy wears eyeliner.
Yeah, he's got the tattooed eyeliner on.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Tattoo Giants on your arm, Jay, as you celebrate your famineship.
I would be going to get that laser removed if that was the case.
Finding a new team for Jay at something. Right now, it still is G-Man Jay. We'll see if that continues to remain the same.
I'm considering changing it, but most likely it'll stay the same. It's been there too.
You can change it to like Duke Man Jay or something.
Yeah, but they're not.
Dookie J. There you go. Yeah. At Dookie J. It's fun, though. I like it. Over at FTN, charting games for you, helping with all that data, which, by the way, you can actually use the code from SiriusXM. It's FTN Show, gets you 15% off. The ranks and waivers will be coming out midnight over at The Athletic, as always, and here to help you in Week 18. And we'll be back next week. We'll talk playoff formats and do a little fun stuff with that. Yeah, exactly. That's going to be there forever. Is that ever going to die?
Never.
Hushmazode, lock it up.
Hushmazilly. Put it on the board.
Are we talking practice? I know that's not NFL, but like all those they're never going to die. But the Giants' famine ship for Jay has died. We'll see you later.